Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock, with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's a story from Lori Collins.
I am from a little town in Florida called Vero Beach. I was born and raised in this beautiful little island community with a lovely family. I was the youngest of five. My family owned a business on the beachside. I grew up with the ocean literally my backyard. And from the outside looking in, life was really idyllic in my little beachside Florida community. However, I was harboring a deep secret that I didn't even know that I had. I grew up suffering from mental illness and went undiagnosed for many, many years until my teenage years. And things that were viewed at the time as little odd childhood idiosyncrasies were really signs of, you know, a progressing mental illness. I isolated a lot. You know, my IQ was kind of off the charts, so these were just kind of scenes as, oh, she was a brainy kid. I had little OCD tendencies. The line on my sock would have to be perfectly straight or I would throw tantrums about it. Things had to be very particular. In my household, lots of verbal abuse. There was some physical abuse. My sophomore year of high school, I was gang raped at a party. Didn't know how to tell my family. I hid it and lied about what had happened. And then when it came out, my family was just kind of like, you shouldn't have put yourself in that position. My family was not equipped to deal with my mental illness. I was not equipped to deal with my mental illness. And I ended up leaving home at 15. Several suicide attempts over the years, was misdiagnosed and over-medicated and became very wary of the mental health professional community. So went through my life essentially untreated for my mental illness, which has been diagnosed as borderline personality disorder brought on by untreated PTSD. So I treated myself with drugs, and my drug of choice after having a car accident, I had multiple surgeries on my leg, and I became addicted to the opiate painkillers that I was prescribed by my doctor. And that painkiller prescription I began to abuse, that turned into heroin abuse. And at the age of 35, having never really been in a whole lot of trouble, I was arrested for burglary of a dwelling. Very, very rapidly, I went from having a fairly normal life to having nothing. And my decision-making for a couple years had not been very good. And, you know, the drugs made it worse. I was in Indian River County Jail for 15 months waiting to be sentenced. And when I was sentenced to 34 months Department of Corrections. So I was sent to Ocala, which is a Lowell Correctional Institution, which is where they house death row for women, because of underfunding and overcrowding in the Florida correctional system. All women who are sentenced in the state of Florida go to this maximum security death row prison. I went into the correctional system broken, with nothing and nobody. I'm not even sure when the last time I was able to dream a dream about a happy life, but I knew at that point that any hope for those kind of dreams was over. The correctional system takes broken people and shatters them. There is no hope inside those walls for any kind of healthy, normal existence. The officers don't know what you're there for. You could be a lifer for hurting people. They don't know. They don't care. You're treated accordingly. I had nothing. My family was done with me. The wreckage I'd caused in my life was too vast and too great. And anything that was good in my life, I had destroyed. 18 months prior to my release date, I did not know what I was going to do. I had no plan. I didn't even know how to make a plan or if I was even worthy of making a plan. I was invited to apply for a program that is down in Homestead Correctional Institution called the LEAP program. That's an acronym that stands for Ladies Empowerment and Action Program. And it is a unique program in the state of Florida in that it is an entrepreneurship program offered inside the prison for women who are 18 to 12 months to their release date. It's a program that teaches life skills as well as entrepreneurship skills. Barry University and Miami-Dade College come in and teach business classes, and you graduate with an intact, viable business plan that's actually ready to hand over to investors upon your release. This program did a lot more than teach me how to write a business plan. It taught me how to get honest about myself. It created a safe environment with other women that enabled me to get honest about why I was in prison and what led me there. And I'm not sure that I have ever been honest about that before in my life. 185 women applied for this program when I did, and they're only able to accept 15 every year. My personal mentor is a woman who is a banker here in Miami, and she came multiple times while I was still in prison, came onto the compound and met with me and talked not only about my business plan, she even did research for me and picked me up when I was released from prison. I would have had nowhere to go. I know for myself, and I think for most of the women who were in my graduating LEAP class, it was the first time that women of substance looked at you and said, I believe that you're worthy. I don't remember ever hearing that before. And I know that without that program, I wouldn't be living the life that I am today. I am 1 month out of prison, 1 year out of prison. December 27th was my year of release. I am working for an organization here in Miami called the Center for Social Change. And this is a nonprofit organization that houses nonprofit organizations. And they pay me a salary to work with women who are transitioning out of the correctional system. I moved back to Vero Beach after working for the center for 6 months, and I have a house, and I have my daughter back in my life, and I have a relationship with my mother, and I now work with women who are transitioning out of Indian River County Jail back into the community, also with women who are transferring out of prison systems back into Indian River County. I work as a client advocate for them, being the helping hand to them that was to me. I left the prison system knowing this absolutely. No matter who you are or what you've done in your life, we all deserve for there to be one person to hold our hand. Not to do it for us, but to say, I'm here and I will hold your hand while you do it.
Lori Collins with an intense personal story. And Karen, I'm quite amazed she's willing to share that story with us.
I really am humbled by this story. And after she told it to us, I thanked her and said, I can't believe that you can tell a story in front of strangers like that. And she said, I told it in front of 2,000 people. So this is somebody who really understands the power of storytelling, understands that to stand up and speak your truth is the most important thing you can do.
You always say that transformation is the crux of storytelling, and there it is right in front of us.
And you mentioned that this was extremely intense, and this transformation was just about as intense as you could get, both how she slipped into her life of crime and then how she came out of it. At one point, she laughs when she says, I mean, she laughs sort of ironically when she says, my decision making was not that good. And then toward the end of the story, she cries. Not at her lowest point. She doesn't cry when she's describing her lowest point. She cries when she talks about the help that she got. And particularly when she was told that you're worth something, that you deserve a chance.
Prisons, I was taught, were made to rehabilitate prisoners. But Laurie does not paint a pretty picture if only 15 prisoners out of 200 are accepted into the program.
Yeah, and she says that in an extremely vivid way. She says the correctional system takes broken people and shatters them. Now, you can't get much more metaphorical than that. You know, what's a metaphor? It's taking something from one realm and comparing it to something in another realm. And she's taking people who are like a cup or a glass that already has those fault lines in it and just made into hundreds of pieces of glass. It is such a strong indication of her feelings, of her experience there.
She also made it a point that she was in prison with violent offenders as well.
People with life sentences and on death row. This was a maximum security prison. I'm glad you brought that up because a story is a journey. And she started her journey on the beach. She said, the ocean was my backyard. Think about the freedom that she had at the beginning of her life with the Atlantic Ocean at her doorstep. Juxtapose that with being in a cell in a maximum security prison, and you see just how far she fell.
It's a shock listening to Laurie's story, but I'm glad to know that she's doing well.
Not only is she doing well, she's working at a Center for Social Change. And what this tells me is that Laurie has fulfilled a particular aspect of the hero's journey. I mention that sometimes when we talk about stories. This is an archetype, an ancient pattern for stories where somebody goes out from his or her community, is called to a challenge, and either survives and succeeds or does not. And this is the model for the Western, the model for Lord of the Rings, the model for all the great stories that we've got in our culture. What many people forget about the hero's journey is that end of the journey, if it is a true success, does not just end with them living happily ever after. The end of the journey is that the hero brings back to the community what he or she has learned along the way. And Laurie has not just gotten out of prison and gone into a great 9-to-5 job. Laurie is taking what she's learned the very hard way, I may add. And she is helping other people. She's making a difference in the world. So this is, Michael, a true hero story.
Karen, we'd like to hear other South Florida stories. If our listeners would like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Email me at cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Or call me, 305-995-2264. Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories at wlrn.org, radio, and the public storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.